Hello everyone, and welcome to Biopedia. Individuals with red hair are noted to comprise just 1-2% of the population of the Earth. With a world population nearing 8.1 billion as of January 2024, that still leaves about 81 to 162 million people with red hair. So, I felt that redheads deserve their own episode. First off, let's talk a bit about what causes being ginger. We're going to be centering on the MC1R receptor, otherwise known by its unabbreviated name of the melanocortin-1 receptor. If this gene is not functioning properly, creation of a pigment called eumelanin is swapped out for the creation of pheomelanin instead. This results in hair which is red or yellow in colour. A way I always like to imagine it is that pheomelanin is a different colour wheel. It's not just a different shade, but is, after all, an entirely different pigment. Most redheaded people have two copies of this gene which are not working, but sometimes they only have one mutated copy of the MC1R gene. However, MC1R has other impacts than just hair colour. For one, it is a big factor in how sensitive you are to sunlight and how susceptible you are to skin cancer and melanoma. It also has an impact on skin colour. Individuals from Europe have a larger diversity in skin and hair colour than those not from Europe on average, and the authors of a particular review posit as to why this is. A question was asked whether natural selection has acted against the generations of mutations in MC1R in the African continent. The conclusion mentioned in this paper is that selection does act against mutant varieties forming in Africa, but this limitation is removed in Europe. Having said this, there is no selection pushing for the correct function of MC1R being lost in Europe, just that the selection against mutants is removed. There is no selection for MC1R mutations. At the moment, we do not know to what extent MC1R influences variability in how vulnerable to the sun you are. The authors feel that, although it is acceptable to imagine MC1R's genetics as recessive following Mendelian genetics, so typical dominant recessive genetics, this is just a temporary viewpoint. After all, this puts people's phenotypes into boxes which nature would not recognise. This reminds me of discussions we've had in the past about subspecies, species breeding together, sibling species, etc. Mainly, nature doesn't go by what humans think is nice and neat. The phenotype for red hair includes many different colour varieties, again backing up this point. There are two more effects of red hair which we are going to talk about, the first psychological and the second medical. In the first instance, there is a 2014 thesis which studies whether red hair is connected to being anxious or depressive. 1,742 individuals from 20 different nations, with most people being from Ireland, the UK and the States, completed a survey which included placing yourself on a scale for these emotions. There are also questions about the individuals' experiences of bullying and asking generally how the participants felt ginger individuals were portrayed in mainstream culture. The results showed that American women with red hair had less anxiety and were less depressive. By contrast, red-headed men in the UK had more anxiety. However, the effect size in question wasn't large. Individuals with ginger hair were found to be subject to bullying a lot, and red-headed individuals were not happy with how they were shown in popular media. The second question, which is a bit murkier, deals with, among other things, anesthetic requirements. According to a 2015 paper by Gradwall et al., being a mutant for MC1R has been connected with needing more anesthetic in both humans and animals. This study wanted to assess what the implications of this are for the clinical world. Studying 319 ginger individuals and 1,595 individuals who are not redheaded has found that there is not a difference in the probability of waking up during operations. The same went for how much pain red-haired individuals experienced after an operation, the management of anesthetic, or how long it took to recover. The study concluded that there was no need to change anesthetic or analgesic strategy based on patients reporting themselves to have the phenotype for red hair. We'll need to pause for a moment to talk about the possible mechanism listed by this paper. As we indicated at the start of today's episode, MC1R is mostly in control of expressing pigment in the hair and in the skin. We last talked about pigment properly in episode 17 when we discussed eye colour. However, MC1R is also present in low doses within the central nervous system. It could be for this reason that some research has indicated having red hair might lead to being less sensitive to the action of anaesthetic. The results of this study go against this idea, while matching other work with patients in surgery, according to the authors. However, work published later in 2021 has found that the nociceptive threshold is higher in mice which are phenotypically red-headed. What this means is that they are able to withstand more pain. Nociception is the way that the sensory nervous system picks up on stimuli which would be harmful. Nociceptors need a certain threshold before they fire, saying that there is something harmful stimulating them. Supposedly, when MC1R isn't working, the levels of something called melanocyte-stimulating hormone, or MSH, go down. The levels of propiomelanocortin, or POMC, also drop. Robinson et al. Write that lowered levels of MSH is responsible for these higher nociceptive thresholds, while elsewhere it is stated that POMC is broken down into other molecules, which regulate the balancing act between pain-preventing opioid receptors and pain-detecting melanocortin receptors. We're not doing a full episode here on pain perception in red-haired individuals, so there may be lots more to conclude from other works. However, from what the literature discussed here has shown, it seems that there are opposing opinions and the jury may still be out. As always, thank you all for listening. Feel free to get in touch at the show's email address for any questions, comments, or topic suggestions for future episodes. Until next time, have a great week, everyone.